Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Grace Church post-Thanksgiving holiday. Great to see all of you here today. Turn to somebody sitting nearby, give them a big smile, let them know you're happy to see them in the house of the Lord today. It is, in case you didn't know, it is December 1st. So let me be the first to remind you, you have 24 shopping days left before Christmas. So no pressure. Just get on Amazon and get it done, but not during church, right? Not during church. Amen. Hey, it is December 1st, and that means your Mission Louisiana pledge is due. Don't forget that if you've made a commitment to Mission Louisiana. And then, as we've been announcing here for quite some time, our new midweek service schedule begins this week, this first week of December. So that means Tuesday night prayer, 7 o'clock Tuesday evening for the whole church. Bring your family. But note, it's at 7 and not 7:30. And the same will be true on Wednesday night for Bible study. We'll begin at 7 o'clock and not 7:30. So the folks that voted for that, you're very excited. And the single person that voted against it is not quite as excited. No, I'm teasing. I'm kidding. Just making sure everybody's awake this morning. That's all right. All right, tell your neighbors. Say, I heard it here first. We are announcing the Christmas service at Grace for Sunday, December 22nd. That, of course, is our 11 o'clock service. We'll still have Sunday school that Sunday. 11 o'clock, though, we'll be celebrating Christmas together in our Grace Church Christmas service. And that, as you know, is such a wonderful, wonderful time together. So come out, be ready to worship the Lord in terms of celebrating Christmas together. God bless you. Stand with me today. It is great to be in the presence of God and to be with our brothers and sisters and to be preparing to worship the Lord together. Feels like it's been a little while since we've been together in church, but here we are, and I'm committed to making the most of my time in the presence of God. If that's how you feel, would you clap your hands and let's welcome God's presence into this house today.
Didn't want heaven without us. Yeah. shout of praise in this house today. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Everybody, lift up your voice. Let's praise Him. All over the building today, would you lift your voice? Let's glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I tell you honestly of late, every single day, I wait and look to the sky, hoping that today might be the day when the sound of the trumpet will go forth and we'll be caught awake in the moment and the twinkling of what a day that's going to be when we all get to heaven. Anybody excited about that today? I am. Hallelujah. Clap your hands one more time to Jesus. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Return to your seats. Remain standing. If you would. Great to see everybody here today. Thank you, praise team, for taking us to the throne of God again in worship and praise. We're so thankful for this opportunity to come and celebrate Jesus together. And I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving holiday to be together with family and friends. Hope you had family and friends to be with. I think there may be one or two people here today that their family vacated them during the Thanksgiving holiday, I understand. So our thoughts and prayers were with you as you were at home celebrating Thanksgiving by yourself. Did I just put a guilt trip on anybody here today? I don't mean to, but I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I asked several people today, did you overeat on Thanksgiving Day? I didn't, because we went to Piccadilly. You only get one serving, and I didn't make it through all of that one serving either. So I told Sister Murphy, I said, you do a much better job on cooking Thanksgiving dinner. No offense to any restaurants around. I'm thankful they were open and thankful for the people that was working that day, but I sure preferred what Sister Murphy does a whole lot better. And past couple of Thanksgiving had Fallon make us a big pot of chicken and dumplings. Missed that this year. It was just an awful year. I'm kidding. We had a great Thanksgiving and hope you all did as well. Great to see you this morning. Thank you for being here at Grace Church. And it sounds like you've come to worship, to let the Lord have His way. Is it okay if we do a little preaching on the post-Thanksgiving Sunday? Thank the Lord. Praise God. Great to be with you all. Thank you, Brother Ben, for ministering this past Sunday. Heard lots of good comments from this past Sunday, and thank you so very much for that. Let me call your attention to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23, very passionate about this presentation today. We begin reading with verse 15. We're, I guess, now officially, as Brother Dave said, into the Christmas season, and you have 24 days left to get your business done. You've been told, you've been advised. If you don't do it, that's on you. Amen. Everybody said amen. If your wife wakes up Christmas morning and has nothing under the tree, you've been advised. It would be in your best interest, and gift cards don't work. You need to go to Amazon from your chair at home and pick out her a nice Christmas gift. Thank the Lord. Look at your neighbor and smile and tell him I'm glad to see you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I didn't mean to have a conversation. Just say I'm glad to see you. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15. The Bible said, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord, and he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about the well at Bethlehem. The well of Bethlehem. Everybody say, thank God for the word. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. I want to deviate a moment from my notes. Again, we are beginning the Christmas season, and I just have felt drawn to this presentation today to introduce to you that little town where Jesus came from. How such a small, insignificant, unimportant, unknown town could bring to our world the greatest miracle of miracles ever performed, the greatest life, the greatest power. The Son of God, God robed in flesh, came from this little place. Years prior to the story of Bethlehem as it relates to Jesus, years prior to that, the Bible said a well was dug in Bethlehem, and it was right inside the gate going into the city. It's kind of reminiscent when you look at the typology of this. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Jesus would be the bread of life, came from Bethlehem. He was out of Bethlehem. The Bible prophesied that this little town would bring to us our amazing Lord and our amazing Savior and healer and so on, out of this little obscure village, if you will. But just inside the gate, when you entered into it, you had this well of water as you went into what is known as the house of bread. The two primary staples of life is bread and water. And Bethlehem is a representation of that. And well, and the bread and water is a type of the infilling of the Holy Ghost and being baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. It's all found in this little obscure story of Bethlehem. There's terminology that is used in the Bible when it refers to people who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One is that they are full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost here today. I believe today I showed up full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm planning to leave full of the Holy Ghost. But I can still take more. I want it to overflow. How about anybody else here today just to leave here full of the Holy Ghost overflowing? The psalmist said, my cup runneth over. And then there's another reference to a person that were at least at one time full of the Holy Ghost, and the Bible calls them lukewarm. The interpretation means that they are less in their relationship with God than what they used to be. Lukewarm in this case means the culture and society around that child of God full of the Holy Ghost has changed them instead of them changing or impacting the culture around them. Another term the Bible uses to describe a person's spiritual standing is when they're backslidden. So you have people full of the Holy Ghost, you have people that are lukewarm, and now you have people that are backslidden. This is a person who was once on fire for God or had an awesome relationship but now has turned and walked away from God. And then the last thing that I'll mention today that represents a person's spiritual state is the reprobate. When a person has had the Holy Ghost reaches such a place of rebellion and reproach towards God who hates and curses God, that God will eventually cut them off to where they can no longer be saved, even if they wanted to. So four standings, spiritual standings a person can exist in according to the Bible. But the Bible is clear. At one point, you were at one time full of the Holy Ghost. I've had people ask that have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is it possible that you can be a reprobate? I believe anybody can reach a point in their own mind where they can't come back to God. But if you're going to curse God, you have to experience God first. And I think the Bible is very clear on that. But I want to believe today that it's God's will. And I do believe today that it's God's will for everybody to be full of the Holy Ghost. I believe we should be on fire for God. I believe we should be full of faith. I believe we should be full of hope and promise and vision and purpose and value. God just don't fill you with the Holy Ghost to make you feel better. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. It's a mind changer. It's a heart changer. I'm glad today to be full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody clap your hands to Jesus. Jesus said in John 7, 38 and 39, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. As David, King David of the Old Testament, looks back over his life, he begins to express his deep affection and appreciation for his mighty men. The Bible referred to these men as mighty men, the men who stood with him when King Saul and all his troops were seeking David to kill him. These mighty men later became high-ranking soldiers in David's army. Three of them stand out especially, and this is who commentaries believe the scripture is referring to. First, there was Shammah. Shammah, who stood his ground to defend a field of lentils, a field full of crop. Shammah defended that. He stood his ground. But it's interesting because Shammah's name means desolate. And then there's Eleazar, who stood his ground against the Philistines when the rest of the army fled. Eleazar kept fighting. And the Bible said at the end of the battle, his hand was frozen to the handle of his sword. They had to pry his fingers off of his sword. His name means God has helped. And then there's Adino or Jashobeam, either name, who killed 800 men with a spear in one battle. His name means let the people return. So these three mighty men, one's name means desolate, the other God has helped, and the third, let the people return. One event in particular ties these three famous soldiers together in David's mind. The time they defied death to bring David a drink of water. They defied the army of the Philistines. They broke through, the Bible said, to bring David one drink of water. David, of course, grew up in the little town of Bethlehem, so he was very familiar with the town. His parents got their water at this well. His ancestors drank at the water from this well. And he himself had made a trip to this well many times to fill up a bucket of that clear, cold water out of the well of Bethlehem. I was born and raised in the church by awesome parents. Spiritually speaking, I knew where the well was. I still know where the well is. When I'm sad, when I'm lonely, when I feel broken, when I feel depressed and sad and even lukewarm, I know where that well is. I want to stop and say here in passing, I was not given access to that well because it was easy. I was not given access to that well because it was luxurious and comfortable. There were people that fought for that access. There were people that bled for that access. Primarily today, I'm speaking of our amazing Lord Jesus Christ today. He died a horrible death that you and I might drink from that well of salvation freely. And the Bible said when we do it, we'll do it with joy. I want to present to somebody here today the well of Bethlehem. Are you thirsty? Has it been a while since you've had a good praying through to the Holy Ghost? If it's been a while, let me tell you, the well is here if you want to drink of it today. Oh, yes. Now, many years later, the country is at war, and the Philistines have taken Bethlehem. David can see all the destruction from a fortified camp nearby, and perhaps his boyhood home lays in ruins. His childhood memories are destroyed, and the well of Bethlehem, the very center of the town, had been captured by the enemy. Almost without thinking, David utters what's foremost in his mind. I don't believe he intended anybody to act on it. Just think, he was thirsty, and there was water from only one place that he craved and thirsted for. So I believe this morning, almost without thinking, Dave just says out loud what he's thinking. Oh, I wish someone could get me a drink of water from that well. What a request. If there's anybody here today that things just, they're not like they should be, and you don't feel like life is producing all that it can, I'd like to recommend something to you today. I believe there's people sitting here today, if you're honest, if you're sincere, if you're transparent, you would admit that I'm not where I could be. I'm not where I should be. I could be just a little bit closer to Jesus. I could be just a little more committed to Jesus. And I crave just a drink of water from that well of salvation. I want to tell everybody here today, the well that I'm talking about is just not just a one-stop shop. You just don't come here one time and take a drink of the water and you go away for the rest of your life and forget about it. No, there's an attraction to it. There's an appeal to it. There's an alluring to it. There's something about it that the water that comes out of that well can only be provided by Jesus through the conduit of his redemptive plan. I want all of us to think here for a moment. What did it feel like? Can you remember? Do you remember the day or the night you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time? What did that feel like? I still remember it. There was something shot through me like electricity. I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it. I can tell you who preached. I can tell you what he preached about. He laid hands on me, and God filled me up with the Holy Ghost. And nothing I've tried since then has ever replaced that feeling, that experience. And I want to encourage somebody here today. You can have that again. And I want to say there's still people fighting. Every day this church is full of people fighting to keep access to that well open and inviting and welcoming. David utters, I wished I had a drink of water from that well. If you read the writings of David, he was a man accustomed to thirst. He was a man accustomed to having a desire for that relationship with God. In Psalm 23, we all know it. Everybody here today can quote it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not my job. It's not my bank account. It's not my marriage. It's not my kids. It's not my family. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Only the Lord can give me something that will cause me not to want anything else. It only causes me to want more of Him. He said He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Nobody else can do that. He leadeth me beside the still water. David said in Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart, the deer, H-A-R-T, the deer, as a deer panteth after the water brooks. I read one commentary, I believe it was Matthew Henry, that said, this is describing a deer that's running from dogs that is chasing him into the range of the hunter to shoot him with bow and arrow and to kill him as the heart pants, as he runs and runs and you can't run no more and your muscles are tired and you're getting weary and you start panting. You need a drink of water. David said, so does my soul thirst for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God, he asked. It's thirst that a person has that cannot be satisfied by anything else. The psalmist said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, and my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Thirsty. I want to throw out a challenge again here today. I wonder if anybody would take advantage of this message and the atmosphere that's about to be created so you can be refilled. If you say today, I'm good, I don't need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, that's a telltale sign that you do. Amen. It's a telltale sign that you're lukewarm and you seem to be somewhat contented. But I want to let everybody know, and it's not telling you anything you don't know here today, but life throws curveballs. It does it all the time, virtually every day. And it don't take much. Life can be so fragile sometimes. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take but one circumstance to leave you, theoretically speaking, flat on your back and groping in darkness and loneliness and depression and asking God, why? And why am I here? That will remind you of how satisfying just one drink of water out of that well of salvation is. It's interesting to me when Jesus described either the true story or the parable, however you want to take it, of the rich man and Lazarus. The first thing the rich man asked for when he lifted up his eyes in hell, the Bible said, he just ask for one drop of that water, just a drop. Just give me one drop of water out of that well that stands in Bethlehem that I shunned and ignored all of my life. That representation of that beautiful well set at his gate every day in the form of Lazarus. Lazarus means the priesthood or ministry. It's not a name, it's a title. And he walked by the door of salvation every day, every day, every day. And now he wishes for just one drop. There were three men that heard the desire of David, and they had such deep love and respect for their leader. All he has to do is utter the thought out loud, and they act. And without David even knowing it, they rush from the camp on a fool's errand, and they break through the Philistine defenses and bring back a drink of water to their commander. I cannot imagine the reputation that preceded these mighty men. How hard did they have to fight the Philistines? I believe the Philistines had a fear in their heart of these mighty men. And it's interesting to me that their names mean something negative, desolate, thirsty, hungry. And when the devil knows that you're truly thirsty and hungry for more of God, he'll move out of your way when you start truly pursuing Jesus. Their bravery and sacrifice are so precious to David that he counts He counts the water as blood, and he pours it out as an offering to the Lord, as though it's a blood offering. And at the end of his life, this is the event that is foremost in his mind. When David is dying, this is what he talks about. His mind goes back to eternal value and eternal purpose. And he thinks about those three mighty men that brought him a drink of water. And David treated it as a blood sacrifice and poured it out on the ground and gave it back to God from whence it came. A life of total commitment. David probably didn't realize that he was speaking and acting prophetically on that day of battle. He couldn't have known that the prophets who ministered to Israel years later would speak of the visitation of God. Prophets spoke as a visitation of God. God in flesh, Jesus, spoke of him as a river, as a fountain, as a pool, a spring, a stream, and a well. Even Jesus said, when you take of this water to the woman of Samaria, you'll never thirst again. He cried out the great day, the last day of the feast, if you're hungry and thirsty, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I'm not sure that David understood how prophetic that was, but Isaiah picked up on the theme in Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. He went on to say in Isaiah 35, then shall the lame man leap as a hart or a deer, at the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Isaiah went on to say, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. God called David a man after my own heart. Why? Because David had always had a thirst for God. And every time he partook of that spiritual water, it only left him wanting more. Kind of the way it affects me. I have never, ever got to the point where I thought I was too close to God and that I have enough of God and I'm satisfied with the amount of God that I have in my life. I've known God since I was 12 years old when I received the Holy Ghost that night in August, that hot night in August, when I sprung from a kneeling position and went straight into the air, speaking in tongues. I can still hear that sound in my ear. Since then, that's been a long time ago. 50 plus years. And I've never reached a point where I've gotten weary with it. Every time I feel the presence of God, I'm thankful. I've never come to that well of salvation with drudgery. Never come with regret. God called David a man after my own heart. Essentially, God is saying, David, because of your thirst for me, I'm going to use your house. I'm going to use your house. You've set a precedent. You've established a principle. You've described a condition that the heart of man can find himself in. Always wanting God. Always needing God. So I'm going to take your thirst and I'm going to use your house to open up a fountain of redemption for the entire world. Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah 13, verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So, Pastor, what is the well of David exactly? The gospel. The gospel is the well of Bethlehem. The gospel is the well of Bethlehem. Jesus himself is that water. That's why Jesus could say in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This well was dug in Bethlehem. The musicians would come. This well was dug in Bethlehem. Notice with me again today, this well was dug in obscurity. It was dug in the night. It was dug by the light of a single star. It was dug not in a palace, but in a stable. Humble shepherds came to see the opening, the birth of this well, and the first gush of the living water. The very angels of God began to shout, "Glory to God in the highest." The angels wanted to partake of it. And God said, no, this water is reserved for the sinner, for the lukewarm, for the backslidden. It's reserved for them. I dug this well for people like David who have an unquenchable thirst for me. The best news of all is that the well of salvation is still open today. But the enemy doesn't want you to know that. The skeptics, the doubters, the scoffers and the mockers and the religiously and politically correct all want to block the way to the well of living water. That well is dried up. The well that the apostles talked about is dried up. It's not water that's necessary anymore. Other religious water, other religious beliefs are just as good. You can't even get through to the well anymore, the world will tell you. You may have to fight through the enemy forces to get to the well, but one drink of that water is worth it. There's people here today. I would to God I could sway you, persuade you, and just how amazing a refilling of the Holy Ghost would be for you today. There's people here today that have cried yourself to sleep over bad things that's happened to you in your life. Marriage failures, your kids, your family, even yourself, your disappointment to yourself. You don't know why life has taken the path that you're on right now. I may not know the answer either. You're never closer to that well of salvation than you are right now. Doesn't matter how far you think you've strayed, it's right there. The Bible said in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus said, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There's no excuses here today. As far as God is concerned, nothing is holding you back as far as God is concerned. If you'll stand with me this morning, God said, in the last days, I'm going to turn the bucket upside down and pour out every last drop. Oh, that someone would give me a drink from the well of Bethlehem. If you feel desolate here this morning, who at one time stood your ground to defend the truth, who had those things such as morals and character and even holiness, and today you're feeling maybe a little lukewarm or even backslidden, I want you to know that there's still water in the well of Bethlehem. Maybe you're an Eleazar today who God has helped, who at one time stood your ground against the enemy. In times past, you fought devils and temptation and compromise, but today you may feel less spiritual. God is here to help you. I want you to know there's water in the well. Maybe it's a dino. Let the people return. You've travailed and interceded for your family, your kids, and others. But today you're tired. You're worn and weary. And you're thinking of thirsty and dry and how parched you may feel. I want you to know there's still water in the well of Bethlehem. Calvary is still prevalent. It's still powerful. God is still forgiving people of their sin. God is still restoring people, no matter what your spiritual condition may be. God is here to help, not to condemn. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that through him the world might be saved. Calvary is still powerful. There's still water. I feel the presence of the Lord in this building right now. There's people spattered out all throughout this building right now. You're a shell of what used to be. You've allowed life, our culture, circumstances to cause you to deviate. God is saying the well is still here. You want to come partake of it? Partake of it is still here. Why don't somebody come determined? I'm going to walk down to the front of that building, and I'm not leaving till God fills me up again. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not preaching a judgmental message. I want God to help somebody here today. I want God to minister to somebody here today. Why don't you raise your hand and say, God, fill me up one more time. Determined, I'm leaving here today full of the Holy Ghost.